now.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I enjoy alternating this show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, and we do try to bring you a lot of good information all about you and your health. The show is streamed through MyVillageGreen.com. That's MyVillageGreen.com. And do visit the Village Green site or the store on Cedar Lane. And both places, you can ask questions and you can get answers from experts. So Village Green is your resource for questions about your health. They carry a superior line of supplements from many manufacturers, and they have an excellent line of their own called Pathway Products. A reminder to all of you that we're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Do tune in next Sunday for Kevin's discussion addressing diabetes and blood sugar control naturally. We are going to have a guest today, Rebecca Snow, and she is the program director at Thai Sophia for the Masters of Science in Nutrition and Integrative Health. And this is a new program expansion for Thai Sophia, and they are local. So we will be getting some interesting information on integrative health, holistic health, nutrition. We'll be talking about the subjects and giving you some good tips. Now, I want to go over a few issues, what I call nuts and bolts, some of the baseline pieces of information that people need in order to eat healthier, make better choices, know what to choose. Sometimes we get very specific on the program, and we get so specific that we may lose sight of what the overall goals are. So let's talk about correcting diet myths and what I call real people need real food. There is not one diet for everyone. And some people pick up a book and it may be a low carbo diet or another one, a low fat diet, another one, a high protein, et cetera, even those with high fat. And you just pick that book up and read it. You may or may not fit that diet. And quite frequently, the authors try to tell you that if you're not doing well on the diet, then you need to do more and you need to stay with the diet. Well, if you look throughout the world, if you look culturally, ancestrally, if you look at the history of human beings on the earth, there is no one diet for everyone. And I've been asked by patients, well, what diet do you recommend? And I say, not one kind of diet. It varies. And what makes the difference as to how we know what diet's right for you? Well, there's a quick way to do that. When you change your diet, stick with that paradigm for at least 2 weeks. Don't jump around. If your energy's better, your elimination's good, your weight is stable, or if you're overweight, it's improving, your mental energy is good, you're sleeping well, your symptoms that you've been complaining about, might be joint pains, they're starting to diminish, then you happen to have found the diet that is probably the one that's right for you. But what do we as nutritionists and dietitians look at when we're trying to select a diet? Well, one thing is a physical examination. We have to know the patient and all the vitals and blood pressure and height and weight and body mass index. the life stage. Is this a child, an adolescent, a pregnant woman, an elderly male? We look at lifestyle. It's really important. If somebody says, how much money do I need? You have to ask them, well, what kind of expenditures do you have before we can talk about how much money? And that's lifestyle. Family history. What has been the family history with regard to illnesses? That tells us a lot. If there's been a lot of GI problems, gas, irritable bowel, and bowel problems run through the family. Celiac gluten intolerance, the genetic gluten intolerance, is likely to be the issue and needs to be addressed. There are also non-celiac gluten intolerances, and we can check for those as well. We look at cultural and ethnic backgrounds, your health status, medications being taken now and in the past, food allergies or intolerances, and they're very different. There are four types of allergies. Type one, the one we know about, where we release histamine and we get rashes and the throat can even close. And then there's type two, three, and four. They're more hidden and delayed. Then we go on to food intolerances and sensitivities. So you can react to a component in a food. You can react to, say, phenylalanine, an amino acid in a food. You can react to additives, changes, genetic modification in a food as well. And we also look at individuals' food preferences and aversions and their food experience. Why do they not like a certain texture? What has their food experience been? And laboratory findings. So people do not fail diets. Diets fail to be individualized. Now, there's not one best group, fat, protein, or carbohydrate. We look at the three main groups. All humans need fats, proteins, and carbohydrates. So that is what we should be using instead of the pyramid. The pyramid breaks it down actually in an anthropological way that's incorrect. So fats, proteins, and carbos are essential to human health. The ratio and relative amounts depend on the unique needs of the individual, what we just spoke about before. So high-protein diets may or may not be best, such as Atkins, Zone, and South Beach. Some do very well, especially those who are carbohydrate-sensitive or carbo-addicts. Overeat anything sweet, refined, juices. If it's sweet, they're interested, and that's starches and potatoes, etc. So when we look at the carbo-addict, if they're tired and sluggish afterwards, then that was not the meal for you, because what it was glycemic. It raises blood sugar too high too quickly. Irritability or feeling stuffed after we eat. This is common among carbo addicts. And extreme excess protein is challenging to kidney function. So strict protein diets actually lack fiber. So if somebody is really trying to eat primarily a protein diet, chances are they're not going to do so well. What we're talking about is balance and trying to find out for each person how much protein do they need relative to carbohydrate and relative to fat. And we will often use the Eskimo as the example of having a diet that's 70% fat. And that's good fat. It's not hydrogenated oils, margarines. It's good fat and fried fats. It's not the fried fats. So high carbohydrate diets may or may not be best. Ornish and McDougall diets fall into that category. Some people do very well, but only if the carbohydrates are complex. This does not mean that you are eating mostly breads, pasta, crackers, pretzels. And the first thing people say when they hear me say that is, but I'm using whole grain. I have a whole grain bagel every morning. Unless that bagel or serving of bread or pasta has between 5 and 10 grams of fiber, it's pretty glycemic. Because when you grind grains into flour, they raise blood sugar higher than a tablespoon of white sugar. So when we look at the high carbo diets, we're looking at real foods, not needing an industry to make your foods. So what are those real food carbos? Well, it's really simple. It's vegetables, beans, nuts, seeds, fruits, and grains that are cooked in their natural state. Fermented, real oatmeal, real cream of wheat. Now, very low-fat diets are not necessarily healthy. Fat's an essential nutrient, and human diets historically contain anywhere between 20 to 40% fat. There are some extremes from 10% up to 70%, and those diets are endemic to that population. The kind of fat makes the difference. Essential fatty acids are critical to health. Diets too low in fat promote hunger, immune dysfunction, skin and hair problems, hormonal imbalances, cognitive problems, vision problems, and fatigue. So if you're getting tired, your skin is flaking, you start to look at essential fatty acids. You've got those bumps on your arms, you're not getting enough of them, and they're too important to vision and cognition. Now, fats and oils, not all fats are bad, and not all saturates are bad. The good unsaturated fatty acids are the essential ones, mostly omega-3. We get so much omega-6 that we tend to be imbalanced. And omega-9, which are not essential but are very useful for us and healthy. The bad fats are real simple. Margarine, trans fats, hydrogenated oils. They are mutant plastic fatty acids. They have no place in the human diet. They get into the cells, they get into the brain in the place of good DHA, they harden cell membranes, they increase aging, cardiovascular, cancer, reproductive problems, and immune disorders. Deep fried fats are bad, but they're not as bad as hydrogenated oils and trans fats. So I'm not saying that those are the ones to eat, the deep fried fats. I'm just trying to give you context. Other fats and oils to include. Butter's better. Use coconut oil. Use the coconut. It's healthy. Cholesterol is not bad. It's essential for life on Earth. And we make it in the liver around 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams a day. If we don't make it, we have to eat it. It is for your hormones, your nerves, and your brain structure. So I've given you some tidbits. I want you to hang in there. We're going to listen to Rebecca Snow, and she'll be talking about her program and about integrative nutrition and health. This is Dana Lake, if you've just tuned in, and we're the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. Stay with us. We will be right back after this break.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet. committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the second segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. This show is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, bringing you a wide variety of information all about you and your health. We are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., so tune in next Sunday for Kevin's discussion on nutrition. And I want to remind you that today we have Rebecca Snow with us. She has a Master of Science, a CNS, a licensed dietitian nutritionist, and much, much more. She is program director at Thai Sophia for the Master of Science in Nutrition and Integrative Health. So welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thank you, Dana. Lovely to talking to you today.
Well, I know that some people are familiar with Thai Sophia, but I'd like you to tell us more about Thai Sophia and also about the program, and then let's start talking about integrative nutrition, holistic nutrition.
Sounds great. Thai Sophia has been a school for the healing arts since the 1970s. It started as an acupuncture school and became one of the first regionally accredited acupuncture schools in the country about 10 years ago. And we, at that time, we also launched two other master's degree programs, a Master of Arts in Applied Healing Arts and a Master of Science in Herbal Medicine. And we are now on a seven-year plan to become a university. We are regionally accredited, as I said, through Middle States, and we've just launched this Master of Science in Nutrition and Integrative Health this fall, and with 45 students, and we'll start another 45 students in January. And we're looking to roll out a number of new programs. We have coaching programs. We have a new postmaster certificate in women's health for acupuncturists. So a lot of exciting things are happening at Thai Sophia right now. We're located in Laurel, Maryland, which is really, you know, just south of Columbia, and we have a garden on campus and a wonderful library resource that's open to the public as well.
Well, your background is interesting. If you give us a little bit of information on that and how you got interested in Thai Sophia.
Well, I actually was studying at various, non-accredited herb schools in the area, looking to learn more about herbs and holistic health. I was a manager at Smile Herb Shop for 2 years, and I was in the first class of the herbal medicine program back in 2002. And when I graduated, I went to practice with Dr. Norton Fishman and Optimal Health Physicians in Rockville, Maryland, and that was a wonderful experience. I met a lot of fabulous practitioners and got a wealth of experience working with folks with chronic health concerns, particularly Lyme disease, you know, fibromyalgia, and weight loss as well. So I practiced there for 5 years, and then I came back to Thai Sophia administratively and seeing clients, and I was on the curriculum committee for the nutrition program, and I was also on the interview committee for the director role, and ended up taking the position myself. So here I am. And it's really an exciting journey. We've had just a tremendous interest in this program. So we're really thrilled.
Well, the community is very excited about it, the professional community. And I know personally I'm excited that Thai Sophia is expanding. And it's nice that the many areas of expertise you've developed can be utilized in working at Thai Sophia and in the program. So let's talk about integrative nutrition, holistic nutrition, a little bit of a definition and background.
Okay, great. Thank you. There are several aspects of integrative nutrition. One is that, you know, the word integrative is applied to many fields, and an integrative approach to human health is really a broader understanding of health and wellness. So there's how we view the human body. And then there's an integrative approach to food choices and to nutrition concepts. The word integrative means to integrate parts into a whole or to bring things together that aren't unified. So, you know, in that approach to health, looking at an integrative approach to human health and wellness, one might consider all aspects of well-being, not just physical health. So, for instance, one would look at, you know, is a person socially well and spiritually well and mentally well, in addition to feeling physically healthy. For instance, someone can be dying of cancer, yet feel of good spirits and be at peace with their family, their friends, and their life. And even though that person is suffering a disease, they actually feel spiritually and socially and mentally well. So, and the opposite could be true. Someone could feel healthy and exercise every day and eat a balanced diet and be thin, yet maybe they feel inwardly empty or lacking joy. So really, as we look at an integrative approach to human health, we're looking at a really broad concept of what it means to be healthy and well.
Well, it seems to me more of, we talk about traditional medicine, but I always think of traditional as what has been done for thousands of years and millennia, helping the body help itself, looking at everything in the environment and the lifestyle. So I think we're getting back to those kinds of approaches.
It's a really good point. You know, the broadest definition I've found of diet is actually from Hippocrates, who we consider the father of Western medicine. But really what he prescribed for his patients is quite different than medicine, the way medicine is practiced today. I mean, he really believed in the natural healing ability of the human body. He would often prescribe for his patients to sleep or take bed rest as the main treatment for getting better and for things to take their natural course. And interestingly enough, the way that Hippocrates defined diet, the word dietetica, consisted of sleep, food, water, music, breath, clothing. Basically, everything that you expose or surround your body to was considered part of your diet.
That is very interesting. And Rebecca, I did not know that. I love hosting this show. I always learn something new. And that's fascinating. So diet was really a much more broad term encompassing health.
Yes. And it does mirror, certainly within the functional medicine perspective, looking at all the health inputs that affect the body. Like what I just listed, breath and sleep, and so that approach that Hippocrates had definitely mirrors an integrative approach today in modern times.
Well, so, excellent.
Yeah. So another aspect of integrative, nutrition is how we approach food. So we talked a little bit about how we approach the human body, and we can use the same similar approach to food. You know, basically that a conventional approach to nutrition often looks at breaking down food to its parts and understanding food by what it consists of. And, you know, an integrative nutrition would utilize that, but also look at the broader concepts of food. You know, where does it come from? How does it taste? Does it feed the soul and the body? And you know, how does the production of that food affect larger ecosystems?
So we're looking at not just what are we eating tonight, but how is that impacting on the environment, and how do foods relate to each other as well?
Exactly. So it's looking at broader effects. I mean, food doesn't just affect our body. It affects the earth's body, and it affects our social and emotional and spiritual well-being as well.
Certainly does. And yeah. So we're getting back to let food be your medicine and medicine be your food.
Yes, which is a great quote that it's actually the most common quote I find in all the application essays for our nutrition program. But, you know, just to illustrate this point, that really food is more than the sum of its parts, we can look at a specific food like an egg. You know, somebody might choose to eat an egg because it has lots of protein and the egg yolk is rich in B vitamins. And all of these things are important, and they definitely affect the health of the body. But there's so much more to know about an egg than just what components it contains. You might want to know, you know, where did it come from, and how is the chicken raised, and how long has it been sitting on the shelf of the grocery store, and how vibrant looking does the egg yolk look? Is it pale yellow or bright yellow? And all of those aspects are kind of a broader look at whole food, not just the components. I think as a society, we tend to value numbers. You know, we tend to value, you know, how many calories does it have or how much fiber does it have? It's interesting because NASA attempted to create a food supplement that would replace real food.
I remember.
You remember?
This? Yes, I do. Yeah. I remember.
You probably know more about it than I do. But basically that participants had some digestive complaints and other medical problems. And I think that what we can glean from this and other research is that really the act of eating food in and of itself is healing for the body and is a healthful component of a good diet because of the interaction food has with our digestive system.
Well, you've given us a lot, and we are going to spend more time on details and lots of tips for our listeners. And if you've just tuned in, I want you to know you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. I'm Dana Lake, your host, and we're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We will be right back after this break with more interesting information on nutrition.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code. Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Listeners, to the third segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, located right here in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. I'm Dana Lake, alternating the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, bringing you a lot of good information all about you and your health. We are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and you can tune in next Sunday for Kevin's discussion, Addressing Diabetes and Blood Sugar Control Naturally. That's of great interest today, since diabetes has increased so profoundly in the last 10 to 30 years. We have been having a wonderful discussion today with Rebecca Snow, and she is Thai Sophia's Program Director for Master of Science in Nutrition and Integrative Health. And we just got through talking about holistic and integrative nutrition, talking about terms and what diet means. It really means much broader. It's about your lifestyle, not just what you eat. And then we were talking about healthy foods and how to identify them. We were talking about the egg when we signed off. So, Rebecca, if you could take off from there and tell people what they can look for in a healthy egg and one that is not as healthy.
Well, it's interesting because definitely the color of the egg yolk will tell you a little bit about chicken's diet. I get my eggs directly from a farm, and the chickens eat grass, and they eat alfalfa seeds and flax seeds. Chickens left to their own devices do like to eat bugs and grass. They'll eat anything, but they do like to eat bugs and grass. And chickens that are eating pasture and are not just eating grain do have a much brighter yellow, sometimes even orangish egg yolk. And I love making quiche or scrambled eggs from the eggs that I get with those bright yellow yolks, because they just look so vibrant and colorful. The shell color actually varies based on the chickens that are laying the eggs. So it's not quite as relevant to the health of an egg. But interestingly enough, there has been research on the difference between eggs that come from grass-fed or pastured chickens versus grain-fed chickens, and cholesterol does tend to be lower. The nutrient density of the egg tends to be a little higher. There's some increase in fats that tend to be cholesterol-lowering. So, the color of the egg yolk would probably be the biggest sign of what the diet of the chicken is. And that diet of the chicken is going to translate to how healthy that egg is for your body.
That's a good description. What about when we crack the egg? What can the consumer and our listeners who are consumers look for as to whether an egg is fresh or rather old?
Well, smell. An egg shouldn't have any rancid smell. Eggs do have fat in them, and when fats have gone off, they smell sharp or bitter. And so you don't want to have any smell. You don't want to have little blood streaks either. So those are two things that you'd look for when you crack an egg.
Excellent. So the blood streaks and the strong smell, which is really rancidity.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, egg, it's interesting because a lot of people stay away from eggs because of concern of cholesterol, and that's certainly a whole big topic that we probably don't have time to get into. But the way you cook an egg is going to affect its effect on heart health, because the fats in an egg can oxidize if cooked at high temperature. So cooking an egg, you know, poaching it or slow heat scrambling, both of those techniques are excellent, or a slow boil for a soft or hard-boiled egg. We'll cook an egg at a lower heat, and the fats are less likely to oxidize, and oxidized fats are certainly a big contributor to heart disease. So that's another way to make sure your egg is healthy, aside from the nutrients it contains.
So we're better off with soft-boiled poached eggs, and what you kind of said is slow boiled.
That's like a slow-cooked scramble. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And slow-cooked
scramble. My husband makes a great slow-cooked scrambled egg. They're nice and soft, and that's kind of the way they should be when you're cooking them at low heat. Yeah.
Very good. What about some other foods?
Yeah, so looking at a broader perspective on food, the food that comes to mind is broccoli. I mean, I don't think there's a person probably listening to this show that doesn't know that broccoli is good for them. And, you know, there's the knowledge of knowing it's good for you and knowing why it's good for you. And then there's all other aspects of the health of broccoli. So, you know, some of the things we do know about broccoli, we know that it contains really helpful sulfur compounds. Actually, all the vegetables of the Brassicaceae family, which is the broccoli family, some other vegetables of that family like cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, bok choy, broccoli sprouts, there's many. All of these vegetables from this family contain healthy sulfur compounds, which have been shown to be helpful for cancer prevention and for female health complaints, particularly helping to metabolize estrogens, excess or estrogen metabolites in the body. So, you know, all of this knowledge contributes to our understanding of how broccoli affects our biology. But then there's the individual experience of broccoli. So, you know, people don't really experience cancer prevention in their body. It's something that they know in their head. But in the long run, eating more vegetables can definitely help people feel maybe more energetic. They might have a better mood and might notice subtle ways that their health improves. But in the short run, the motivation to eat broccoli is often on the promise of health benefits. So what's an individual's experience with broccoli? How do they prepare it? You know, do they like the taste of it? Do they eat it growing up? Because as we know, the sensory experience of a food starts the cephalic phase of digestion. So enjoying our food, you know, enjoying the smell of it and the taste of it, is actually going to improve our assimilation of the nutrients. Growing up, broccoli was often frozen and then boiled in water, and I didn't like it very much. And then as I started to cook for myself, I learned various ways to prepare broccoli, you know, sauteing it with a little garlic, a little salt and pepper, olive oil, and just finding various ways to make broccoli taste good and change my experience of broccoli. So people have, you know, in addition to what we know about food, people have an emotional connection with food. The smells associated with food can bring up memories of childhood. And it's interesting because our odor memories are actually stored with long-term memories. So positive or negative associations with various smells can have effects on the healthfulness of a particular food for a particular person. And I think experimentation in the kitchen is one of my favorite ways to explore food. And trying new recipes. I love Epicurious, the recipe database. That's one of my favorites. I love searching for recipes there. the World's Healthiest Foods, whfoods.org. That's another favorite recipe database of mine. But having fun in the kitchen and exploring a food like broccoli, which you may or may not like, and finding new ways to make it taste good can, I think, improve the health benefits of eating broccoli.
Well, it's a lot more in-depth than we think of. And I think it's just that we come from a culture where food has really not been about sustenance, health, prevention, ecology, the environment. We're really starting to get back to that. So it's exciting to hear what you're saying. I always think about the nose and its placement on our face. It's not where the ear is. It's right where your food has to go by, so that if something smells horrible, you're going to reject it. And if it smells good, you're likely, you know, to eat it. And that smelling of the food, as you said, is memorized, as is how we respond to foods. For instance, if we get sick, let's say we have the flu and we eat anything, chicken, and we vomit, we're not going to like chicken for a long time because the association's there. So there's a lot about food that we don't think of. There's just much more to it.
There is. There's a lot more to it. I mean, something else that comes to mind is eating fiber. You know, if someone's, you know, not having regular bowel movements, what's the first thing, you know, you think of? Eat more fiber, drink more water. And yet it can be so much more complex than that. You know, you could count your grams of fiber, and that might solve the problem. But you could look, too, at the quality of fiber you're getting. You know, where is that fiber coming from? If someone's, you know, tending to have dry constipation, you could get your fiber from really moistening sources of fiber, like root vegetables, which would add more moisture to the food and would absorb some moisture, so it's lubricating to the bowel. Or flax seeds. Flax seeds is a great example. Grinding flax seeds and sprinkling those on your oatmeal or your cereal can add some moistening properties to the fiber because
so
it absorbs water.
It expands the quality of the fiber. And what we're going to do is talk more about this in the next session. If you've just tuned in, listeners, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. And I'm Dana Lake. I'm your host. And this show is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We will be right back after this break with more interesting information from Rebecca Snow.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals. committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to today's final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I enjoy alternating this show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro as we try to bring you lots of great information all about you and your health. And we are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You can tune in next Sunday for Kevin's discussion on addressing diabetes and blood sugar control naturally. We've been having an interesting discussion with Rebecca Snow, who is Ty Sophia's program director for Master of Science in Nutrition and Integrative Health, and they are local. It's in Laurel, Maryland. And we've been talking about integrative medicine, holistic nutrition. We also talked about how to look at food, ask where it comes from, know what kind of nutrients have been available to that food. And now we're talking a little bit more about fiber. We started that subject. So let's spin off into fiber and give our listeners some good tips.
Okay. So, you know, as you're choosing types of fiber, we talked, you know, a bit about, when we're talking about broccoli, we're talking about somebody's personal experience with broccoli, and the same can be applied to fiber. You know, somebody who's just counting grams of fiber, you know, you also want to pay attention to your body's response to the various foods you're increasing. A lot of attempts to increase fiber include high-fiber breads, and most high-fiber breads are wheat-based. And somebody who suffers from digestive complaints, you know, may actually potentially be wheat sensitive. That's a common sensitivity that we find today. So paying attention to how the body responds to various foods can direct people to better choices for themselves, you know, when it comes to choosing foods that are high in fiber. And, you know, another interesting aspect is the vibrancy and the quality of the food you choose that's high in fiber. I was actually looking through a cookbook the other day by Sandor Katz. It's all about fermenting vegetables. And in the foreword, Sally Fallon said, "I'd rather have food made by a magician than a machine." And I love that quote. It's just a great quote. I just put some sauerkraut in my fridge today. And to me, that's a great source of fiber because not only is it giving fiber to and feeding the colon, you know, good healthy fiber, it's also got good bacteria, which is the colon, as we know, is a harbor of trillions and trillions of bacteria. So eating a fermented food, a fermented vegetable like sauerkraut, will add some probiotics to that fiber. So, you know, there's so many layers. It's like eating more fiber is just the tip of the iceberg. We can make so many other changes in addition to eating fiber for the health of, for instance, the digestive system.
Well, let's talk about the types of fiber, soluble, insoluble. Knowing most people know that they get their fiber from whole grains, vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds, and beans. But within those foods, there are the soluble and insoluble. So let's.
And it's important to get a variety. And one of the best ways to get a variety, because most people, most listening in the audience, don't know which foods have insoluble or soluble fiber.
Right.
But if they eat a variety of vegetables, fruits, grains, beans, and nuts and seeds, they're going to get a variety of different types of fiber in their diet. So in some ways, just by getting a variety of food groups, individuals will accomplish that goal.
Well, they certainly will, and we talk about that with color, too. A variety of color gives you different nutrients, and depth of color is so important.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love just thinking about a rainbow, because each color in the rainbow represents a different phytonutrient and a different type of health benefit to the body. It's such an easy way to get more variety.
I like that. Have a rainbow plate.
A rainbow plate, that's right.
That
and not
well.
M&Ms or Skittles.
yes. So let's talk about the evidence. People always say, what's the evidence for diet, for herbs, for nutrients? And I always find that a remarkable question, since the evidence is so abundant. I'm always assuming that the person just hasn't been exposed to the evidence. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so, evidence-based medicine is kind of a common catchphrase you hear these days, along with integrative. And I have a nice definition here about what is evidence-based medicine, because we can apply the same definition to evidence-based nutrition. And according to the University of Toronto, evidence-based medicine is the integration of best research of evidence with clinical expertise and patient values. And I love this definition because it incorporates science with patients' perspectives and the clinical experience of practitioners. And I think that we can add to evidence-based nutrition another piece, and that is the historical traditional perspective. Because evidence-based medicine, which is mainly the use of prescription drugs, have only been around for 50 to 100 years in most cases. And nutrition, I mean, people have been eating since they've been on the planet, basically. All living beings eat. It's a birthright. It's something that we all do. And so we have a huge body of knowledge just looking at the diets of traditional people and the historical uses of food, looking at, systems such as Ayurveda or traditional Chinese medicine provide a window to such, valuable information. Or like the work of Weston A. Price.
I was just thinking of that.
Yeah. And other cultural anthropologists provide windows to what did our ancestors eat. And what's fascinating is the huge variety of diets. The Eskimos, which 70% of their diet was fat, and some tribes in Africa that 10% of their diet was fat. And that's just one example, the huge variety of diets from our traditional ancestors. But what's interesting is that in some ways, the scientific research, which really is one of the main legs of our evidence, comes from scientific research and has provided so much information to our understanding of human nutrition and how we can use nutrition to support health and heal disease. And there are challenges with science. There are challenges with studying nutrition with clinical trials, and certainly challenges with studying nutrition with laboratory research. But it's interesting because the increase in nutrition research in some way parallels the increased use of chemicals in our food.
It does, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you need research to tell you that Splenda's safe, but you don't need research to tell you that an apple is safe, because we've been eating apples for thousands and thousands of years. So this is where the traditional perspective definitely helps to balance the scientific perspective on understanding food.
Well, of what you were commenting on with regard to the fat, what we've learned is that low fat is not necessarily the best kind of diet for all people and that there are genetic differences with regard to fats. Some people are better on a high-fat diet. You mentioned the Eskimos, which is a really good comparison. And it's genetics that makes the difference. So I always get very nervous when anybody goes toward what should be a diet for everyone. One diet. Yes. This is for everyone. So I always say you can't put a Hawaiian baby on an Eskimo diet and expect them to be healthy. And where we know our ancestral background and our genetics, it makes it easier to select. Are we going to be more vegetarian or a little more carnivorous? But whatever we are, the bottom line in the natural diets is that they were natural, they were local, they were nutrient dense and fresh.
Yes. And you know what's interesting is that the third piece of evidence-based nutrition is your personal experience with food. And because we are all unique, we all have unique biochemistry and unique genetics, and we don't all have the capacity to get genetic testing to know what are our unique food needs. We can listen to our body. We can start to become more aware of how we feel in our body when we eat various foods. And I think that that's, you know, just like the definition from University of Toronto, that patient's experience, that your own experience is a valuable source of information when you're making food choices.
What about a few client stories, a little bit of information right down to where, as a counselor, I work with patients and you in directing a program are teaching people to work with patients?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can give you a story about, I have a number of clients that come to me from food addict groups, from 12-step programs, and I can think of a couple of clients in particular from Food Addicts Anonymous, and that plan has a very kind of laid out plan of what to eat, and it incorporates lots of fruits and vegetables, no sugar or refined grains. It definitely decreases calories to some degree, depending on someone's individual needs. And so in general, it's a very healthy diet, and it balances food groups, and balances food sources. And the food plan can be interpreted a number of ways. The one thing it does tend to emphasize year-round is raw fruits and vegetables and some dairy. And it's interesting because I've had 3 to 4 clients come from Food Addicts Anonymous eating the plan, and they feel very cold in their body. And the only thing we do is heat up their food. We cook, have them eat more cooked vegetables, particularly in the winter, and maybe warm their milk or do some non-dairy milks or some other protein sources to kind of alternate away from the milk a little bit. And I've had clients who've been wearing 3 coats in winter feel like they can actually go down to 1 coat. And all we did was change the temperature of their food. And to me, that's just a valuable learning tool around how broad and complex the input of food is on our health, and just that food is more than nutrients. And this also points to a traditional perspective, because a lot of what, for instance, traditional Chinese medicine, the perspective on healthy food had to do with, is the food hot or cold, damp or dry? What was the energy of that food, and
yes,
how does that affect the health of the person? So,
and that's an Ayurvedic as well. Well, we could go on and on, and I want to thank you, Rebecca, for being on the show and sharing some good information with our listeners.
Well, it was lovely to be on the show. I enjoyed talking to you, Dana. Thank you.
And I'd like to have you back again.
Okay, great.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us on The Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM. You can access this show or any of the previous shows through myvillagegreen.com. That's myvillagegreen.com. Please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take. It's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a breathtaking day.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
As a home plate ump, my eyesight is my paycheck.
Strike one!
Strike, that thing was chin high!
But the price of monthly contact lenses was eating me up.
Strike two!
Come on, it bounced to the plate!
So to save some money, I'm just using these glasses I found. Cha-ching!
Strike three, you're out!
He hasn't even pitched the ball yet!
There's an easier way to save. Get online, go to geico.com, get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, President Obama will speak later this hour at the dedication ceremony for the new Martin Luther King.